Lounge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Senate in an all-night session working to pass a budget resolution that will be key to enacting many of President Trump's initiatives. A federal judge will consider a request to further block the Trump administration from freezing trillions of dollars worth of grants and loans that fund everything from clean energy to bridge repairs. You'll make it if you can last one more day. That's what ABC's Ginger Z says about the freezing cold temperatures, including in the South.
Macon this morning, Mobile, Birmingham, Memphis, all tying or breaking daily record lows, but this is the end of it. We are going to see the warm-up. Here it comes. Nashville into the 60s, New Orleans close to 70, and Chicago will go up close to 50 as we start next week.
In court today, accused CEO killer Luigi Mangione, several of his supporters lined up outside the New York City courtroom. The next phase of the hostage release will happen tomorrow in Israel. Six hostages are set to be released in exchange for more than 600 Palestinians held in Israeli jails. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A recent study by WalletHub found that Wisconsin homeowners pay some of the highest real estate property taxes in the country. According to the study, Wisconsin ranked 8th in the nation for highest taxes, despite having the 20th lowest median home value. Wisconsin residents pay nearly $4,600 in annual taxes for a median value home, significantly more than the national average of about $3,000 per year. Illinois was the only Midwest state to rank higher on the list, paying a median home average of nearly $6,800 per year. Two bills were proposed in the Wisconsin State Legislature this week to limit the ability of local governments to restrict residents from maintaining vegetable gardens and chicken flocks. If passed into law, the chicken-related bill would force local governments to allow residential property owners to keep less than 5 chickens or quails, but could allow those local governments to require permits for the birds. The garden-related bill would prohibit local governments from prohibiting or requiring permits for vegetable or flower gardens. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is seeking applicants for the position of Ashland County Coroner. According to a press release, the current county coroner, Barbara Beeksma, is resigning effective May 2nd, and the new appointment will serve the remainder of the term ending January 5th, 2027. Residents interested in applying for the position can do so online, and the application materials must be submitted by 5 p.m. on March 7th. Potential candidates can also request more information about the process through the Gubernatorial Appointments Office. The Duluth Department of Public Works is proposing a new monthly surcharge to residents to fund repair projects at the water treatment plant. According to city officials, the monthly $5 charge would begin in May of this year if approved. They're hoping the new surcharge will help provide funding for an estimated $42 million in repair projects and could last for as much as 20 years if the city is unable to secure state or federal funding to decrease the financial burden of the projects. A public hearing on the proposal will be held on March 18th. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks beat the Clippers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks rallied in the fourth quarter, went on to beat the LA Clippers 116-110. After the game, players like Damian Lillard reacting to the news that Bobby Portis has been suspended 25 games for violating the league's anti-drug policy.
Obviously, it's a hit to our team. We're all professionals, and we know that we got to hold it down for him, make sure that we stay on track for when he does come back. You know, I think it'll make us a better team because we'll have to find a way without him.
The Bucks face the Wizards in Washington tonight. College basketball, number 16th ranked Marquette on the road against Villanova. Head coach Shaka Smart on how guard Stevie Mitchell has improved in his time with the Golden Eagles.
He was defending, he was flying around, he was bringing an incredible spirit and energy. That was his freshman year when he really didn't know what he was doing yet. Now he's a senior, he's more seasoned, he's way more confident, more secure, and we're absolutely going to need him to be at his best down the stretch.
That's Marquette coach Shaka Smart with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Happy Friday to you. I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice wrap-up to the work week with mostly sunny skies today and highs in the lower 20s. Mostly cloudy tonight with lows near 5 above. And then warmer this weekend. Partly sunny on Saturday with highs near 30, up to 37 Sunday. Currently, it's 6 below.
The The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, we discuss the idea that women should just make sandwiches for their men and maybe shouldn't even have the right to vote, because that's what's coming from the MAGAs. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
When the president talks to God, are the conversations brief or long? Does he ask to rape our women's rights and send poor farm kids off to die? Does God suggest an oil hike when the president talks to God? When the president talks to God, are the consonants all hard or soft? Is he resolute all down the line? Is every issue black or white? Does what God say ever change his mind when the president talks to God? When the president
all right, welcome back
to, God,
to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, your choice of music.
Well, it's I think it's self-explanatory. I think we currently have a president where there are people out there who actually talk as if they think our president does talk to God, or that he's here because of God. We're in a strange time. We are in a truly strange time, and things day to day that are ongoing are strange.
All right, let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you for the call, man. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Happy Friday. Thanks for taking my call, as always. You know, first of all, regarding the Ukraine issue, we need to kind of roll back the calendar a little bit and give a shout out to the Ukrainian people that, after decades of the corruption, they didn't want it anymore. So they removed, was it Yankovych, something like that? I forget the guy's name.
Yanukovych was his name, yeah.
Yeah. So the Ukrainian people stood up and they took their country back, right? So then all of a sudden now, because we all know about the Donald Trump relationship with the Russians, we know how vital their the oligarchs' income in their pocketbooks was to Donald Trump's. They're intertwined financially, for sure. It just, like you were saying a moment ago, Sandy, it's one of these things where you scratch your head, you wonder what in the world are people looking at that they can support a tyrant and somebody who, you know, like Putin. You know, co-equal branches of government. You know, when we look at our U.S. Constitution, we often, I think, neglect it. We don't give it the respect it deserves, rightly so. It's a brilliant, hard-fought guide to people power. What is more, I don't know, pacifying, what is more culturally acceptable than people determining their own path forward in a republic? And what we're seeing is this tyrant Donald Trump, you know, hiring minions, and then, you know, dismantling, attempting to dismantle all the hard work and all the gains gained over the, you know, last 250 years. It's really something to see. But let me just remind people that Donald Trump's mentor, and he talks about this on a regular basis, was Roy Cohn. And all you need to know to look into Donald Trump's mind is get a little history on Roy Cohn. And that'll probably change your attitude real quick. But I'm a firm believer in co-equal branches of the government. I'm a firm believer in people power. I know what we're capable of. We've seen it before. But when we have a well-organized, well-funded dark money machine that allows the Jesse Walters, the Sean Hannitys, the Tucker Carlsons to get inside people like Gary's head and manipulate the information. I mean, the big lie, Russian influence, all these things that have jumbled up the Americans' brain, our minds, it's worked. So going forward, you know, we're going to have a very active populace. And in the challenge I think we have today, to finish the call, is America and all the people out there, when you see people like Earl, when you see, you know, groups like the Truth Chamber trying to do public work, doing your work, support them. Now's not the time to be sitting on the couch. Now's the time to get up and get going.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call, man. Really appreciate it. Let's go to CJ. Let's go to CJ. CJ, you're up.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Earl and Sandy. You know, as you folks are worried about what's going to happen and don't care about what did happen, I'd like to talk about some of the successes already. What are the border numbers already? They're down under 300 yesterday. So as you guys claim that this guy is, you know, going to, he's a dictator. Ukraine is now considering security of the United States. NATO is now going to pay more because they agree.
Well, wait, let me ask you this. CJ, wait. NATO's going to pay more. What do you mean pay more? Who do they pay money to? What are you talking about? NATO's going
to
pay more.
The NATO countries are agreeing that they need to pay more.
Pay and more for what? Their own defense, right?
Amen.
They don't pay money into a pot. They pay money to their own defense contractors and to their own military. That's what you're talking about, right? It's not a dues payment into NATO.
They weren't paying their fair share, and they're agreeing to pay more. The United States has paid a ton.
CJ, you're conflating.
Is that not true?
We don't pay money into NATO.
CJ.
We pay money for our own defense. We have a defense budget, and we expend money for our defense budget.
Well, Sandy,
right?
We haven't had CJ on for a while, and there's a reason, and he comes back and he changes the subject. The subject and what we've been talking about is not that, CJ. We're talking about a man who is the president of the United States who is doing and saying some things to call the president of Ukraine, you know, a dictator, and to say the things that he's saying and doing. I don't want to go back talking about the border. We're talking about the things that he is doing right now that's impacting the American people and endangering this globe.
Well, and let me say that, you know, the prior caller who called in was talking about Ukraine. Ukraine's a very fraught country with very complex politics. But we should remember that Paul Manafort, the man who ran Trump's election campaign in 2016, his major client was Mr. Yanukovych, the Russian-leaning president of Ukraine, who was the subject of the so-called coup, the Maidan Revolution that occurred in 2014, which itself was a fraught event. But for a long time now, President Trump has been, and his advisors have been, people who have come from the Russian-leaning side of politics in Ukraine. And Ukraine has divided politics. They have people who are Ukrainian nationalists who want to move away from Russia. And there were people like Mr. Yanukovych who wanted to be tight with Russia. And we should just understand that Donald Trump and the people who have supported him have long come from that side of the ledger, okay? But we should all understand that Ukraine itself is a very complicated place that was pouring money into Washington on both sides of this.
Is you misrepresent what the president says. Your party does. Okay, they claim that Trump wanted out of NATO. No, he didn't. He wanted countries to pay their.
Well, no, we haven't even talked about that, and we haven't talked about whether he wants out of NATO or not. There are people in the news media who are suggesting that J.D. Vance and others are of a view that we ought to back out of NATO. But Donald Trump's conduct that we're talking about is the conduct vis-a-vis his direct dealings today, yesterday, the day before yesterday with Ukraine.
Yeah, and making threats to another nation, you know, before the world. That's not anything that I recall, Sandy, any president in my lifetime doing. Why should we allow any president to act in that manner? The world is watching.
Yeah.
All right, CJ, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Good morning, and I love the discussion this morning again. You guys are absolutely right about Zelensky, about Ukraine. I always wondered why Putin wanted Ukraine so badly that he would throw so many people against the wall and kill as many people of his country in order to obtain that property. Well, now we know it's the minerals for the lithium batteries of the future. And so you have to look, and there's always a reason that someone goes after someone else. But as far as us being in NATO, yes, the NATO countries are watching this, and actually every country in the world. And yes, Trump wants to get out of NATO. He said that before, and no doubt he will. And he will support Putin and his dictatorship, and he wants to bring that dictatorship functional over to the United States. And those people who actually take in all this propaganda are the people who will actually push us into that dictatorship. But one thing I have to say, the German defense minister, Boris Petrovich, I can't think of his name, I pronounced his name correctly, called Vance a Nazi. And I thought that was so hysterical, I started laughing.
Hey,
so,
Susan.
I mean, this is how they view us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. No problem. No problem. We're up against the time. But thank you very much for the call, as always. 855-752-4842. Sandy, a lot more to talk about this morning on the Earl Ingram Show.
We should find some jobs. The ghetto's broke. No, they're lazy, George. I say we don't. Just give them more liquor stores and dirty coke. That's what God recommends.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH. Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Mississippi has one of the country's worst records for protecting voting rights and advancing democracy reforms. So when pro-voter bills emerge from the state House and Senate, like in-person early voting and the ability to cure a mismatched absentee signature, democracy advocates take notice. Mississippi is one of only three states without some form of in-person early voting, along with Alabama and New Hampshire. The Mississippi Free Press reports that February 12th, the Mississippi Senate passed SB 2654, allowing 15 days of early voting, ending the Saturday before the election at noon. The Republican-sponsored bill passed 39-12, but even if the House advances, it may still be vetoed by Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, who accused the bill's sponsor of making the state's elections less secure. The Mississippi House also took some positive steps. HB 1419 prohibits moving or closing a polling place location within 60 days of an election, sometimes used as a voter suppression tactic. HB 163 sets rules for absentee ballots where the signature on file doesn't match the signed outer ballot envelope and would give the voter a chance to cure the problem. And HB 288 would make each county's five election commissioners nonpartisan positions. All three bills now move to the Senate. We have more on these bills and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Phil. Good morning to you, Phil. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Bill.
I'd like to address this to CJ. He's way too young to remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. He's way too young to understand what we had to do to build an alliance of allies in Europe. So we, the free world had a shot. Now, Trump, who is so endeared and likes to take a knee to Putin, is giving Putin everything he wants. Putin needed a useful idiot. He found one. And CJ, if you have lived a little longer, you might understand at least half of this. Thanks. Have a great weekend, guys.
Well, you know, Bill, thank you. CJ's old enough to remember that. He just doesn't care. Hey, Sandy, so the Republicans and Donald Trump are saying, why don't we give a Doge dividend? So help people understand what a Doge dividend is.
Well, I mean, what they're talking about doing is
some free money.
Well, they're talking about taking money that they're supposedly saving and sending out $5,000 to $8,000 on average per taxpayer to reward them, or essentially to incent them to believe that this whole Doge thing is a good idea. Now, states have sent back money to their taxpayers, but they do that when they have a surplus. Okay. And most states have a requirement that they have a balanced budget. So when they have a surplus, they have to figure out what to do with the money. And usually the politicians decide the best thing to do is to send it back to the taxpayers in some fashion. But here we have a situation in which we have ongoing deficits. And in fact, the budgets that are being passed in the House and Senate by Republicans, both of those budgets include very substantial deficits, okay? Because the tax reductions that they're talking about exceed any savings that are coming out of the Doge program by factors of two or three. And so what they're talking about doing is sending money back to the taxpayers to increase the size of what the deficit would otherwise be. And they're doing it for purely political purposes. It's like, this is worse than a chicken in every pot. This is buying people's sympathy.
You know, Sandy, when Joe Biden and this government sent out the checks during COVID, and he was disparaged from sending those dollars out at a time, Sandy, that our nation was in dire straits, and the American people, many of them were in dire straits, and they needed those resources to keep the government going. That's not the case, and they made mockery of that.
Well, you can remember that before that, the President Trump sent out checks that were signed by President Trump.
Oh, yeah.
He did it on purpose to make sure that everybody who received it thought it was coming out of what, Donald's pocket? It was an act of largesse. But this is so disingenuous. The notion that we would take money that's supposedly saved, what we're doing is saving money we don't have, okay? And we're sending it out to increase the size of the deficit. If a family did this, they would be their financial consultant would mock them as being totally financially unsound.
You know, Sandy, people will, especially people, Sandy, who are struggling economically. They're playing on that as people are, some of them at their lowest ebb. They will certainly welcome getting,
wouldn't?
I know,
yeah.
Free
who
money,
wouldn't?
Right?
I mean, it's like Jay Beers for Tipton, the guy, the millionaire on the TV show that used to give out $1 million to, who wouldn't take it? But, you know, this is just so cynical, and it's designed to lure people into thinking that Doge is pulling off miracles. The fact is that NPR did a very deep dive into what Doge has supposedly saved so far, because they haven't been yet transparent, although the data they put out suggests that whereas they're claiming they've saved like $85 billion, the number is much closer to $1 to $2 billion, and even that is somewhat suspect. Half of the $85 billion was a misprint, okay, that they adopted a savings where the expenditure level was I believe 75 million, okay, not billion, and they cut it in half, and they took credit for the 36 billion when in fact the number was 36 million. And whereas they corrected it on one website, they have not corrected it on their press releases where they're talking about gross savings. And when you end up deep diving into whether the money was actually saved because it was actually going to be spent or was spent or wasn't spent, you find out that the number is much closer to $1 to $2 billion.
You know, Sandy, the whole purpose and reason for them to try to reel in government was to, you know, cut the pain that the generations that come after us, that they won't have to deal with all of this debt.
Right.
But that's not what a decision to give this money back will render, is it?
No, I mean, when you look at intergenerational equity, intergenerational interest, our interest or the interest of our great grandchildren, you know, sending money back today is to benefit us, our generation. Not sending that money back and reducing the debt is a benefit to our grandchildren, who are going to bear the onus of the debt that we leave behind. So, you know, you're absolutely right that if we were going to be responsible and caring about our grandchildren, we would definitely not send that money back today.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Wiers. We'll come right to you on the other side.
Don't tag us out, you got the listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden has filed for the impeachment of a federal judge who issued a preliminary injunction against Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. The injunction stems from a lawsuit filed by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call and other states to stop the group from accessing sensitive Treasury records, including Social Security numbers. Musk called for Judge Paul Engelmeyer's impeachment the day after the injunction was issued, and on Tuesday, Congressman Van Orden introduced the bill. The Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association has banned transgender student-athletes from competing in girls' sports. According to an announcement by WIAA Executive Director Stephanie Hauser on Wednesday, the Board of Control voted to update its policy to ensure compliance with federal directives. Those federal directives come from an executive order signed by President Donald Trump earlier this month, essentially reverting Title IX requirements to what they were during his first administration. The new policy is effective immediately. Barron County public health officials are warning residents to check their cinnamon for brands that were found to have contained lead last year. According to a press release, officials are asking anyone who still has cinnamon that was purchased before last August to check if it appears on the FDA's Food Alert website or throw it out for safety. The full list of products can be found by searching cinnamon lead recall on the website. Barron County public health officials are reminding residents that lead is not safe at any level, especially for kids. Less than 2 weeks after opening them, Barron County officials say the snowmobile trails in the area will close on Sunday. According to county officials, the trails are expected to quickly deteriorate with warmer weather in the forecast this weekend. The trails officially opened on February 14th, and the 10 days of availability would be one of the shortest snowmobiling seasons in decades if lackluster snow conditions prevent their reopening. Due to basically non-existent snow conditions last year, the snowmobile trails in the county weren't opened at all. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's one of Pete's picks for the entire family. Check out the film Flo, an animated movie about a cat trying to survive a flood. Our lead feline needs to get over a solitary existence and work with other animals in similar predicaments as they all take shelter on a boat. There are no words or dialogue, but the action is continuous and the animation is almost hypnotic. Flo is a sweet, engaging film with a very nice ending, showing animals coming together to help each other. The legendary Paul Simon is capitalizing on his SNL 50th anniversary show opening number with Sabrina Carpenter. Simon has announced a new tour. It's been 7 years since the 83-year-old has packed up his guitar and hit the road. Simon will start in New Orleans in early April, and at this point has two dates scheduled for Milwaukee at the Riverside Theater. 83-year-old touring Paul Simon might not go late into the evening, but it's still better than non-touring Paul Simon. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Happy Friday to you. I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice wrap-up to the work week with mostly sunny skies today and highs in the lower 20s. Mostly cloudy tonight with lows near 5 above. And then warmer this weekend. Partly sunny on Saturday with highs near 30, up to 37 Sunday. Current temperature is 6 degrees.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area joins us. Pete Schwabba from Nightlight will be here to talk about the major plot flaw in the movie Green and Gold. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Friday, means Friday to Sandy Williams, Sandy the Music.
Well, you know, the state of Wisconsin has On Wisconsin as its theme song, and the state of Canada has that Old Canada. You know, actually, the whole concept of Canada becoming the 51st state, you know, if Donald Trump thought about it, it would become probably the 51st through 60th state. There'd probably be 18 new senators to welcome to the fold. And who knows what their politics might be. I mean, you know.
You know, Sandy, the fact that this man has picked a fight with Canada.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, it's just nonsensical.
Well, and, you know, he talks about how we subsidize Canada to the tune of $100 billion. What he's talking about is a trade deficit, okay? We buy $100 billion worth of things more from Canada than they buy from us. But, of course, we're a much bigger country than Canada in terms of our population, in terms of the size of our market. And there's no economist would agree that a trade deficit is in any way comparable to a subsidy, okay, or the payment of money to a country. But that's the way Donald Trump talks about it, and that might be the way he thinks about it.
You know, Sandy, in my lifetime, I don't ever remember us having a disagreement with Canada.
Well, we can definitely have disagreements about tariff policies and about trade policies, and I'm sure we've had discussions and negotiations regarding it. But I've never heard of us demeaning the place or describing it as something that ought to become our 51st state. You know, this is an imperial president who thinks about an empire. He's thinking about Greenland. He's thinking about Canada. He's thinking about the Panama Canal. And now he wants the treasure of Ukraine to be ours.
And you know, and not for the nation, but for himself. Let's go to Jack. Good morning to you, Jack. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. I wanted to weigh in on the national debt and the cuts business that you guys were talking about.
Go ahead.
I missed part of it. But number one on the national debt, the people who brought us to where we're at today, the presidents recently are George W. Bush and Donald Trump. And for Donald Trump, it was the tax breaks for the wealthy, primarily 85% of it went to people making more than $500 million. That added more than $4.3 trillion to the national debt. Well, that was supposed to go away in 2025. And so the Trump Republican budget says, no, we're going to keep that tax break in and we're going to give them another. So you're looking at a 4.3 increase in the national debt because he's not removing the tax breaks that he gave. And then he wants to add another $2 trillion on top of that in terms of breaks, mainly going to wealthy people. So, you know, in this business of he's going to give money back, no, he's missing the point. If you want to lower the national debt, okay, you could give something back if it were there to give, but you also might have to raise or at least follow the rules from the last tax break and increase the debt, the tax primarily on the wealthy people. So I think we're just in a terrible situation overall, but we need to stay with this. We need to watch this budget very carefully that Trump is putting out and stay on top of it. Thanks for your comments.
Hey, Jack, thank you very much for those thoughts. Sandy, you want to respond to Jack?
Well, he's absolutely right. You know, look at Rand Paul, a senator who I definitely don't agree with on many things, but he's at least a financial realist who understands that putting a tax break forward at a time when you're trying to reduce deficits doesn't make sense. And this concept of trickle down, that the tax break will itself pay for itself through an expansion of the economy, hasn't worked in the past, didn't work for the prior Trump tax break, isn't going to work for the tax breaks going forward. What we need to do is get closer to a balanced budget, which includes focusing on the revenue side.
All right, let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what? Tom. All right, let's go to Chuck. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
Good morning. Part of my family's Canadian. Donald Trump, you had a caller who said, was listing his, quote, successes. We have successfully alienated our best ally. And we export to Canada the most goods and services of any country on the planet. Between Canada and Mexico, that is 33% of our exports, one-third. They are boycotting us. Exports will tank. The economy will tank. The world despises us. I have a sister that lives in France. The French are ready to put troops in Greenland. All Greenland and Denmark has to do is say the word. We are becoming despised. Musk, Canada, is ready to put 100% tariff on Tesla. The world sales of Tesla is tanking. Yet this man gives himself a $400 million defense contract for military vehicles. Where in the heck is Tesla's experience in military vehicles, speaking of Doge, which is a ridiculous situation, unconstitution is all billy heck. And those contracts that he has worth $15 billion, he's gutting agencies that give oversight or have direct investigations of him and his businesses on those contracts. Can you say fraud? This is the most corrupt, anti-democratic administration in our nation's history, and every American should be shamed. I get the feedback from the world, and the world is saying, shame on America.
You know, Chuck, your emotion in your voice says it all, Sandy. It is the perception.
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about on this show, I don't think we have a lot of time left, is how tariffs work and what this tariff program that's being talked about by the president is going to do to our economy. But if you understand it, you would understand that tariffs are a very backward process. And by erecting tariff walls, first of all, ultimately, if tariffs are truly successful, you end up not importing goods, but you also don't export many goods either, because all of the rest of the world has erected tariffs and put walls around their economy to the extent they can and to the extent possible, so that international trade is diminished a great deal. When international trade is diminished a great deal, the prices of everything across the world go up. So you end up with a world inflationary period as the world adjusts to the new world of more expensive goods being made in the most expensive way locally. And then you end up as well with the growth of each business being restricted to the growth of the marketplace in which they operate. So, you know, the United States corporations, the ones that have been successful, a great deal of their corporate growth has been premised on sales abroad. Those are the growing markets. The American economic market is very mature. Yes, it's the biggest market in the world, but it's not growing at a rapid pace. So if you're an American business, and if your sales are restricted to the American economy, you will not have a high growth rate in your business. You will have the growth rate that is the growth rate of the American economy, which is not anything like the growth that's being experienced by successful corporations as they participate in world trade. So this is all a process of shooting off our toes, not one at a time, but shooting our feet off as we proceed down the line of shutting down international trade and trying to create a world that looks more like 1950.
Well, you know, Sandy, Trump is not that ignorant. He knows the outcomes of
I don't think. I don't think he does. I think he thinks, he talks about tariffs being the most beautiful word in the world. He talks about tariffs as if they magically create revenue when the revenue from tariffs is paid by the American people. It's just a very regressive tax. And it's also a process that increases profits of American businesses in the near term, but not in the long term.
So Sandy, Mark says Trump is brilliant enough to realize that other countries are our competitors, not our friends.
Okay. Well, I hope Mark invests heavily in all of Donald Trump's businesses, and I hope he was an investor in the casino businesses in the past, because Donald Trump, his business brilliance has been, suspect. Let's put it that way.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Tom, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Earl, I don't want to hear from Republicans talking to me about balanced budgets and everything. There's only one person that has balanced a budget in my lifetime, one president, and that was Jefferson Clinton.
Yeah.
So don't give me this guff about you guys think you're the ones to save us money when you lie us into wars and you give tax cuts to the billionaire class. I would like to make a recommendation to the audience. This weekend, go to Netflix. It's cold there. Go to Netflix and go to Turning Point, The Bomb and the Cold War. Turning Point, The Bomb and the Cold War. Such a great documentary, 9 episodes, and I strongly recommend it. And Sandy, I really do think that CJ thinks that NATO is something to do with paying dues, like homeowner dues or golf tees, green tees. I don't think they understand it, so maybe we could take some time. So, people that have not been educated and have been thrown propaganda, Donald Trump might think that it's like paying dues. I don't know. But could you explain that to the audience, please? Because I think it's really important with NATO. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
Well, with respect to NATO, what happened was that the NATO members all agreed some while ago that they would try to shoot for spending at least 2% of their GDP on defense. And the United States has been spending 4%, 3%, 4%, 5% of its GDP on defense, depending on the time period and the growth rate of its GDP. And the fact is that the NATO countries have moved in the direction of doing that. But this is all money that's expended within their countries, within their budgets, toward their own participation in defense. And we should understand that NATO was originated at the behest of the United States. And one of the reasons for it was that we wanted to make sure that the European countries, one, didn't develop armies independently that would fight against one another, because that had been the source of the major conflicts during the 20th century. And two, they were a great client for the United States military industrial complex. We were selling them their armaments, and we were putting our troops abroad all across Europe in a manner that was facilitating our own defense. So, it's not exactly the way the people have portrayed it.
All right, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show.
Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, it's Big G. Join me and Greg Gunderson as we broadcast live at 101 FM WHSM Muskie Country from our downtown Hayward studios. We're live on February 22nd from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., covering the 51st Burker Biner, finishing right here in downtown Hayward. Spin the prize wheel to win great certificates from local businesses. Stop by for snacks and refreshments. Big thanks to our title sponsor, Big Fish Golf Club and Die Hard Sports Bar and Grill in Hayward, Wisconsin.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Mississippi has one of the country's worst records for protecting voting rights and advancing democracy reforms. So when pro-voter bills emerge from the state House and Senate, like in-person early voting and the ability to cure a mismatched absentee signature, democracy advocates take notice. Mississippi is one of only three states without some form of in-person early voting, along with Alabama and New Hampshire. The Mississippi Free Press reports that February 12th, the Mississippi Senate passed SB 2654, allowing 15 days of early voting, ending the Saturday before the election at noon. The Republican-sponsored bill passed 39-12, but even if the House advances, it may still be vetoed by Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, who accused the bill's sponsor of making the state's elections less secure. The Mississippi House also took some positive steps. HB 1419 prohibits moving or closing a polling place location within 60 days of an election, sometimes used as a voter suppression tactic. HB 163 sets rules for absentee ballots where the signature on file doesn't match the signed outer ballot envelope and would give the voter a chance to cure the problem. And HB 288 would make each county's five election commissioners nonpartisan positions. All three bills now move to the Senate. We have more on these bills and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
All right. Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Send your music.
Well, that music is from Panama. The prior music was from Canada. I'm just bringing music from the countries that are in Donald Trump's crosshairs right now.
You know, Sandy, the guy earlier, Jack, who said he had family in Canada and he had family in Italy or France.
Yeah.
And you felt the emotion. He's outraged, as many of us should be.
Well, Donald Trump seems to be fixated on natural resources. So, you know, Canada obviously is a place that has a great deal of oil. It has rare earth minerals. It's a country filled with natural resources. Greenland has no people to speak of, but it obviously is a place with great natural resources. This was the stuff that drove empires to be created in the 19th century. You know, Queen Victoria was running around the world trying to find natural resources to take over. And here we are doing it again, I guess. But, you know, this is the 21st century. And the world of empire building, I thought, was in the rearview mirror. And it's kind of alarming to see us take this on again. I mean, you know, you can accomplish access to other people's minerals through alliances, through business transactions. But taking countries over was something that we accused other people of. It's something that we accused China of. It's, you know, it's we're worried about China and Taiwan, a situation in which we've conceded part of China, and yet we now take great umbrage at the notion that they might try to exert control over it. And here we are talking about doing the very same thing.
You know, Greenland, Sandy, this whole idea of Donald Trump is the great deal maker. There's a deal around every corner. We don't need the president of the United States to be making deals. But there are people who defend, oh, he's just a great deal maker. That's not the way this is supposed to work.
Well, I think if the rest of the world believes that the United States support and the largesse of the United States comes with a great cost, we'll find that they won't be interested. Okay, and if it comes with a big stick, then all the other nations of the world are going to have to find someone who can help them defend themselves against the guy with the big stick, And there are a couple of countries out there who are willing and able to do that. One of them is named China.
So Sandy, I wanted to get this in. We talked about this a little bit, didn't get a chance. But the United States has been looked at as a defender of other nations of the earth all of this time. And here one guy steps in, and now the rest of the world is afraid of the United States. That's happened in a month. In a month.
No, it happened in 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. You
know, Donald Trump this last week, we went from one policy with respect to Ukraine to accusing Zelensky of being a dictator, to suggesting that Ukraine started the war with Russia, and to basically try to muscle Ukraine into giving us 50% of their mineral resources as a price for essentially our friendship, as a price for not insulting their president, as a price for not essentially yielding them to Russia.
And to pay us back. Let's go to Cindy quickly from Appleton. Go ahead, Cindy.
I just want to say I don't think that Trump is a deal maker. He's a deal breaker. Look at all the deals he's breaking that's been in process for, you know, decades here. So he's not a deal maker.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Brendan, go ahead.
Yeah, listen, I wanted to say real quick before we're all off for the weekend and we're talking about Ukraine and everything going on in Ukraine. It hit the news yesterday. I got a short time here. It hit the news yesterday that Hegseth is about to start firing generals and cutting the defense spending.
Right.
The defense spending cutting is just a ruse while they fire generals that wouldn't go to Greenland or Finland and try to take these places over. So here we go. Once he starts to affect the military, we got a huge problem, and America better start getting to the streets and start protesting and start letting this idiot know we're not going to stand for it.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very, very much for the call. Sandy, he is talking about firing generals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's going to do it for sure. I mean, it was something that they talked about. Something Hegseth essentially ran for his office on when he was talking to Trump about becoming what he has become. And the fact is that much of this DOGE process ends up looking a great deal like a protection racket, which is, look, you people in these agencies, either line up behind us or we're going to put you in front of the firing squad.
Sandy, great stuff. See you again on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Cardi. Going to warm up. Up next, Jane Madner, Greg Bach, Madner on air. See you later.
Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based comedian Jim Flanagan and founder of Warrior Songs and veterans advocate Jason Moon. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The suspect accused in the murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson is back in a New York courtroom. ABC's Trevor Ault says it's Luigi Mangione's first appearance since December.
Mangione has garnered a massive wave of popularity, this week issuing his first statement through a website created by his defense team, saying the support has transcended political, racial, and even class divisions. And donations continue to pour into his defense fund, which has now raised more than $500,000.
Sales of previously owned homes slipping last month as mortgages remain high and prices have frozen out many buyers in the market. Consumer confidence also fell nearly 10% month to month in February. Trump tariff plans are the main reason why. A district judge